The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
You're welcome back to The Last Word. It's Ian Guider in for Matt today. Well, we were talking about potential travel disruption there before the break with Aer Lingus and its pilots in dispute, but it is time for The Last Word on travel, so hopefully you might get away sometime this summer. Sinead Kennedy, author of Life as a Cycle and solo travel expert, is with us. Sinead, great to see you. I'm hoping many people actually do get away, and lots of people, of course, travel to Spain, but tend to go to the well-known cities, your Barcelonas, your Sevilles, your Madrids, but you've got somewhere else you think people should be looking at?
Absolutely. Sorry, Ian, I was going to call you Matt there. So yeah, just to talk about Salamanca today. Now, don't panic if there is an airstrike, because you actually can get the boat from Rosslare to Bilbao and then drive down. And the north of Spain is fascinating. Very, very medieval. Now, Salamanca, for just an easy trip, it's 3 hours west of Madrid, and it's well worth a visit. It's really incredibly beautiful and is vibrant with culture. And it really is
very... No direct flights, though, from Ireland. No,
there's no direct... It's a very small city. So yeah, there's no direct flights really from anywhere. But it's three at the trains in Spain are superb. Now, I would definitely say if you have time, spend a little bit longer, but definitely you want one full day and one full night there, because it really is a historic and beautiful place. And it's described as the Oxford of Spain. So it has the third oldest university in Europe, which was built in 1218 there. And the university is an absolute must do, because there is a little hidden frog on the university, and that's what everybody goes to see. So as soon as you arrive in Salamanca, you're going to see all these little frogs and all the souvenir shops, and there's just the frogs everywhere. And I was going, what the heck is going on here? And then it turns out above the university front door, there's hidden a tiny little frog. And legend has it that when the academics turn up, if they can spot the frog, they're going to have a good academic year. He is hard to spot, but you will find him. And, you know, if you have a little...
Is this something everybody just has to do?
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things, you know, it's sort of like kissing the Blarney Stone. You just have to see the frog, you know. So he's absolutely gorgeous. But he is hard to spot, but he is definitely there. The other great thing about Salamanca is it's all sandstone. So it's really golden in colour, very historical, really very beautiful. And there's a beautiful old cathedral and new cathedral, which are actually built into one. And that went under renovation in 1992. And it's very normal that when stonemasons are rejuvenating a very old building, that they put a little signature characteristic on it themselves to depict the modern times. So actually over the door frame, you'll find a little gargoyle eating an ice cream, and you'll actually see a little astronaut floating around. And it really is great to see the modern take on an old building. You know, it is Romanesque. But there's loads of beautiful restaurants at nighttime. It really is incredibly vibrant city. Food is great value. Lots and lots of hotels and accommodation to choose from. I always travel on a budget. Never had any problems finding anywhere decent to stay. Getting around the city really easy.
Is it a walking city?
Very much so. Getting around it is super easy, and a walking tour is amazing. Now, I do personally always download GPS My City, and that will give you a walking tour. I'm just not really great in crowds myself personally, and I just prefer to do things at my own pace. So I always do follow the walking tours of the GPS My City, and it really is brilliant. Gives you all the information. But you can also see Salamanca from a hot air balloon, which would be well worth it. There's also viewpoints.
Sounds a bit pricey.
Ah, well, you know, it's a treat. I mean, look, if you've never been in a hot air balloon and you want to see somewhere beautiful, then why not? You know, come on. And you can cut back. You can eat tins of beans in the supermarket if you need to.
So, lots of Spanish cities. And I have to say, I haven't traveled a whole lot around Spain, but lots of Spanish cities. They are great for food, and particularly if you're a seafood lover. But I take it, given that it's inland, you're not going to be looking at that too much.
No, not so much. So, I mean, obviously, you're going to get your paellas and things like that. But Salamanca is famous for meat, because it is very much inland. So if you're looking for good steaks and suckling pigs, this is the place to go. But I mean, you can obviously get fish, but it is super at nighttime. It's such a vibrant city. Everybody's eating outdoors, lots of nice atmosphere. The church bells are always chiming, and it's just a really beautiful, vibrant, lively little city to go and visit. There's also viewpoints, and there's lots of rooftop bars as well where you can see the views from.
I've always loved some parts of Spain where you get these small cities and they keep the historic parts of them really well. And again, as you say, you've got a cathedral in a Spanish city, they tend to be. Is this something that you would have seen in San Sebastian or places like that? Is it that type of vibe?
Yeah, very much so. So in every single Spanish city, you're going to find the big plaza. Now, it'll either be called Plaza España or Plaza Mayor. And it's a real great centre. You know, it's a beautiful plaza. And in Salamanca, it is deemed to be one of the most beautiful plazas in the whole of Spain. It's Baroque architecture. And again, teeming with life, lots of nice, you know, music going on in the evening times and lots of great places to eat out in. But Salamanca, really, the actual city, it's like a walking museum. You know, you don't actually have to go indoors if you don't want to. But obviously, if you are, you know, just book your cathedral tickets in advance to save you queuing, because obviously it can get warm. Now, I did check today, it's 25 degrees there today, but next week it's looking like it's going to be 32, 33 degrees. So again, just take into consideration when you're going to travel there.
For accommodation, is it value for money, or are you looking at some of the prices as you would in a Barcelona or a Seville?
No, again, there's a huge, huge choice. And actually what I did, I travelled all over Spain, and what I did was I would find chains of local hotels, groups. So for instance, one of them was called Soho Boutiques, and I signed up to their newsletter and became like a loyal member. And then when I was travelling around, if I stayed in their hotel, I was getting bigger discounts. So, you know, you can kind of cut corners that way. Look, there's hostels, there's Airbnb, there's, you know, there's five-star hotels, there's one-star hotels. You can, honestly, you can do it as cheap or as expensive as you like.
Is it the type of place that you would add on if you're going to stay in Madrid for a few days, or if you're off to somewhere else around Spain?
Absolutely. So, you know, Salamanca is often overlooked purely because there is no direct flight there. But, you know, the train is so fast and so efficient. I would say, you know, get out of Madrid. Madrid is beautiful, but it is huge and it really is tough to get around, I found. Loved it, but again, very hot and very busy. Head off over to a lovely cultural centre for a few days, or a day at least, and then come back. And like I said, you can take in, there's another town called Avila, and you could stop there on the train line as well, which is a medieval town, and it's gorgeous. That's about an hour and a half from Madrid, so halfway between Salamanca and Madrid, so you could put in an extra stop there.
And you're recommending possibly one day, overnighter, or a couple of days?
If longer, yeah, a couple of days. You know, it just depends on how much time you have, how much you want to see. I mean, you know, the one thing I would suggest is when you're staying in a hotel in Salamanca, actually, is do get somewhere with a pool if you can afford it, just because, again, you're going to be on your feet all day, and it's just kind of nicer to have a pool to relax around in the evening time. But it's not the end of the world if you don't. You have a bath, get into a cold shower for your feet, for the swelling.
Just wondering, again, a lot of these cities, we tend to stick to your Barcelonas, which get overcrowded. Is it somewhere that there is a lot of tourism?
So obviously, you know, it is very historic. So it's kind of like Oxford, like I said, it's the Oxford of Spain. So, you know, planning your trip around, you know, maybe going a little more off season, getting out of the heat. Now, stupidly, I went there in July. It was ridiculous, the heat, but it was also incredibly busy. But, you know, look, there is room for everybody. At the end of the day, we're all tourists, so we have to put up with each other. You know, you can't sort of give out about them when you're there as well. But, you know, like I said, just book your tickets in advance, and, you know, just, you know, but there was never any queuing for food or anything like that, because there's so much choice. But, you know, it's a real city just to sit around, relax, people watch, and just, you know, soak up the vibrancy.
Sitting outside with a coffee early morning, watching people go by, sounds fantastic, particularly if it's one of those lovely little places, as you said, a university and cathedral town. While we have you, and you did mention the heat over in Salamanca, but we are seeing, particularly in Greece right now, several deaths. Of course, the well-known TV medic, Dr. Michael Mosley. What advice would you have for people who are going away right now and are seeing what they are seeing on our TV screens?
Yeah, so, you know, it obviously is really unfortunate. And, you know, Europe is becoming a bit of a no-go zone in July and August, unfortunately. So the first thing I would say is, obviously, if you get caught in a heat wave, is obviously stay inside during the hot hours, you know, and that is why the Spanish adopt a siesta. Making sure that you're drinking plenty of water. And, you know, it is really important to get electrolytes into. Now, coconut water is a natural electrolyte, but I personally will always travel with Dioralyte, for instance, which are for, you know, dehydration results. You can also, you know, just make sure that you get up super early, do your sightseeing super early, and then again, siesta in the afternoon, and then go back out in the evening time and do more sightseeing then. Wearing cotton clothing, loose clothing, cotton particularly is great because, you know, it absorbs your sweat, etc. Just be careful of how many showers you're taking in a day as well, because, you know, that has its own complications as well. And, you know, the Irish Cancer Society at the moment are adopting a slip, slap, slop campaign at the moment for the sun, and it should be adopted again for heat waves. So look, just stay indoors, air conditioning, try not to go from extreme temperatures from the air conditioning straight out into the cold again, or into the hot, I should say. And just look after yourself, but and absolutely no activity in the heat. I mean, you can't and you shouldn't go off hiking in the sun on your own.
I know a lot of people can only travel at these times of year, particularly if they've got children, but given what is happening and with the climate, and we've seen this at other times in other parts of Europe, should we start looking at when we are going on holiday?
Well, you know, if you can only go at this time of year, for instance, going up to the northwest of Spain is amazing because it's actually very Atlantic-y, so it's very green and the temperatures don't get that crazy 40 degrees that you're getting down in Andalusia. The other thing is looking at mountain holidays, you know, so going up into the Pyrenees or into the Alps, for instance, you know, they're going to be much cooler than, you know, down in a hot city. So, for instance, in Madrid, when I was there, it was so hot, you know, all the concrete, all the glass, and even though it was 37 degrees, it felt way worse. Whereas obviously if you're out at the coast or up on a mountain, you have fresh air circulating around you and it feels cooler. But just, you know, no activity in the hot, hot weather.
If there are people who decide, look, I don't want to take a risk of falling ill, if they cancel their holidays, can you get a refund if it's wetter or anything like that?
No, you'd have to check with your travel insurance. I mean, unless the doctor is going to write you off if you're incredibly vulnerable or you're going to go down the medical route. But again, if you decide not to fly, then that's basically your choice. But again, I'm no expert on that. I mean, I would check with my travel insurance and check with your doctor and see what you can get written off there.
Okay, Sinead Kennedy, thank you very much for that. And Salamanca does sound like a lovely trip for a couple of days. Thank you very much for coming in, Sinead Kennedy.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.